on today's Run to the Top podcast.
Your gut is extremely trainable. But, you know, one thing to mention about that, just because your body has the ability to, you know, train its stomach to handle certain products, that doesn't mean that we should just start introducing foreign materials to your body.
Welcome to the Run to the Top podcast from Runners Connect, where it's all about learning from the best and most inspiring minds in the sport. Together, we can train a smarter, healthier, and faster running community. And now here's your host, Stephanie Atwood.
Welcome, everyone. This is Stephanie K. Atwood, runner, coach, and host for the Run to the Top podcast. Today's talk is with Vishal Patel, Senior R&D and Quality Manager for Nuun & Company. Nuun is the hydration product company that offers pre, during, and post-workout hydration systems. The company says, "We're on a mission to inspire a healthier, happier, more active lifestyle so that everyone can achieve life's next personal best. With Nuun Electrolytes, Nuun Vitamins, and Nuun Performance, you have a product for each part of your training and your life." Vishal will be sharing how, when, where, and why hydration is so important to your running, nutrition, and training performance. He'll also share when to use the different products available for optimum results. I have been following Nuun for several years, and they just keep getting better as a company. I'm delighted to have this chance to speak with senior staff of this company and get all the details. We'll be introducing Vishal Patel shortly, but we'll take a brief break to recognize our awesome sponsors. We'll be right back. Strava is the social network and fitness app for athletes. Later in the podcast, we'll offer details for a free entry into the 2018 New York City Marathon plus a $500 travel stipend from STRAVA Strava. Learn more at runnersconnect.net/Strava. Welcome back to our interview with Vishal Patel, the Senior R&D Manager at Nuun Hydration, a company dedicated to inspiring everyone to live a healthier, happier, more active lifestyle. As a former collegiate runner, Vishal combined his passion for fitness and nutrition and has been developing products for Nuun for the past 5 years. Vishal has worked with Olympic and World Championship caliber athletes on personalizing their nutrition and hydration strategies to excel in their sports. Welcome, Vishal.
Thanks for having me.
Great to have you here. I start off every interview with four basic runner questions for all of our guests, so please oblige me.
All right.
That said, you can avoid any of these questions if you just think they're inappropriate. There's no obligation.
Sounds good.
Here are the questions. How old are you now? Where were you born? Where are you living now? And what is your favorite race distance?
So right now I am 29 years old, or young, however you want to say it. I was born in North Bergen, New Jersey, lived out there for 8 years, but pretty much grew up in just north of Chicago. Currently, I'm in Seattle, Washington. I've lived here for the last about 3.5 years. Favorite race distance? So that's an interesting question. I would probably say I really enjoy racing at the marathon distance. Uh-huh. So I would probably say that's my favorite. However, I still have yet to have a successful marathon race. So maybe that is why it's my favorite, because there's still some I haven't quite written, closed, or really opened that chapter to how I'd like it. So
gotcha. Yeah. You know there's more potential there, and it just needs
to
be developed.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, working with Nuun, I think the hydration part of it can be, you definitely have input there.
Right. Yeah, I do. And it kind of goes hand in hand, which is nice. It keeps me motivated to kind of continue training and racing.
Absolutely.
At whatever level or distance.
Yeah, no, that's great. So then do tell us more about yourself, your kind of your background, your education, and how you got involved with Nun.
Yeah. So, I've been, I've been running my whole life. I ran, my first track meet, cross country meet, I think when I was like 7 or 8 years old.
Wow.
So, have been running, all through middle school, high school, a little bit onto college, really in middle school, when I got into, the sixth grade, maybe even before that is when the passion for track and field, kind of came along. Mm-hmm. I started as a high jumper and, a hurdler, and then kind of evolved into, a triple jumper and focusing more on middle distance and now kind of more onto the distance side of things. So, really, really had 4 great years in high school, in track and field and triple jump there and ran some middle distance races. Went on to Iowa State, where I just walked on there for a couple of years and ran there. I had some opportunities at some smaller schools to run, but they were kind of far. They were out on the East Coast, and I wanted to stay closer to home and try to find a place in the Midwest. So mm-hmm. Went on to Iowa State.
And what did you specialize in distance-wise at Iowa State?
I specialized in triple jump and then the 1500 mile, a little bit of the 5K as well. So, onto the distance, but, I was recruited and, I spent pretty much the most success personally I believe I've had in any track and field event or distance has been the triple jump. I'm 6'3", so yeah. I'm pretty tall. And I was able to kind of put those, the technique and some of the physical attributes needed to be a decent jumper. Yeah. So,
I wanted to move on ahead here a little bit. Sure. Distances, of course, for a lot of the people listening to this podcast are short distances, 1500 and even the 5K. And the triple jump, of course, is something that is a track and field event. In fact, I want to go more into this at some future time, talking about
totally.
How running actually goes beyond and training of coaches and what you learn if you're involved in track and field goes beyond just, sprinting or running a mile or 2 miles. And I think that would be another great interview because there's so much out there in terms of running as a competitive sport that is not just racing on the track.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So your education then from college, what were you majoring in?
Yeah, so I was majoring in nutritional sciences and chemistry. Okay. So as I was kind of going through, just a general coursework, I put the sports nutrition piece, and the running piece together. And that kind of, that was kind of my aha moment, and realizing that the stuff that I was learning in the classroom could have a pretty big impact on just the way that I was training, fueling, hydrating, and recovery.
Yeah.
And, that's the rest, I guess, is kind of history. And I've developed that passion to kind of work with athletes and bringing newer products.
I wanted to go into that some more too, because clearly you got involved with Nun maybe shortly after graduating from college. Is that true?
Yeah, it is. I actually started working for them when I was still in college. So just as a part-time, they had some positions available and I didn't even know much about the company. I was just looking for a summer job at that time. And then, at that time, Nun was very, was probably only around for about 4 or 5 years. So we were still young, new up and coming company. So yeah. And I essentially, after I graduated, I did some things on my own for a short period. And then, there's an opportunity to kind of work full time for Noon, and I ran with it, and now I'm here.
Yeah. So I would love to get into this in a little more detail as far as the nutrition. I'm really impressed that you have this nutrition background, because that's something that I'm both fascinated in and have been studying a lot this last decade. But the transition or the necessity for good nutrition, including good hydration, for best running performance. It just seems to me that this is such an essential area to have good running, and it's been kind of separated from, you know, one side is running well and the other side is having nutrition, and now companies are bringing those pieces together. So talk to me about how Noon got involved in creating hydration products, and then how you got involved in kind of expanding on that notion of what those hydration products were.
Yeah. So, you know, when Noon first came about 13, 14 years ago, you know, the founder of the company was just trying to figure out a solution to bring hydration with him. So, you know, he was a big cyclist at that time, and, you know, 10, 15 years ago, the only hydration products were, you know, you would have to juggle around a bottle, a ready to drink. And, you know, when you're out for a long bike ride or even a run, you know, it's hard to carry all that weight. I mean, we can find water pretty much anywhere to a certain degree, but it was really about making hydration accessible convenient. So, you know, that's where the tablet kind of area came into it. And one thing we saw back then, and we're still continuing to see it now, but it's evolved past sports drinks, is the amount of sugar and the extra stuff that's in these products that, you know, don't really need to serve any functional benefit in there. So, and for us at that time, is to try to create a portable hydration solution that didn't have all the sugars or the excess calories. We learned at a very early time that the fundamentals to hydration, number one, is water, and two is the blend of electrolytes. So your amounts of sodium, potassium, magnesium, calcium, and chloride. So, you know, that's how Noon kind of got into it, is we entered in that cycling sports specialty kind of area. Mm-hmm. And then as the company kept growing, you know, we just started educating more and more on the importance of hydration. And that's where kind of I came into there. And you know, if you look at the relationship between hydration, sports nutrition, and running, you know, with hydration, the fundamental goal of hydration is to flow oxygen to your working muscles. So that is what proper hydration does. It's going to give your muscles, if you would, the energy that it needs.
That's such a good point. I'm really glad you're bringing this up, because what I see in my own coaching and what I see in the questions that my you know, group asks me about running and hydration is they don't really have an understanding of how anything beyond water might help them to train better, or even how water has a direct effect on how well they're performing. So this is really good information.
Right. Yeah. And that's what, you know, back in like the 60s and 70s, hydration and the fueling sort of was not separated, and it was combined. And that's right. Where you saw products like Gatorade and things like that hit the market, right. Which, they do have a need for those higher intensity, short burst sports. But, you know, what we wanted to do for endurance athletes, we thought it was important to highlight, you know, just the fundamental goals of hydration, which is to fuel your muscles. And then, you know, the fundamental goals of eating, which is to give you energy, to allow your body to, you know, perform at that high level. So once you kind of take in that aspect of it, and you have the right hydration products that work with your body, which Noon over the course of the last couple of years has kind of differentiated those product lines to what your body needs. You know, it's going to make you more of an efficient runner. It's going to be able to process the water more efficiently. It's going to be able to use the fuel that you're also consuming at a higher rate, so you don't have some of the side effects that you would get from, you know, under overfueling or even with some hydration issues.
Yeah, I'm often given the question of, you know, thinking that sports drinks are Gatorade. And of course, Gatorade does look at itself as a sports drink. But if you read the ingredients in Gatorade, it's very, very different from what Noon offers. And Noon recently has specialized more in like pre, during, and post-workout hydration. And I would love for you to go into more detail on that, because again, this is something that it's not just when you're running a race or just when you're training that you should consider hydration as an important part of your overall lifestyle.
Right. Yeah. So one of the aspects that I harp all the time is the importance of daily hydration. I mean, and again, it goes a lot back to just flowing oxygen, letting your body just breathe a little bit more.
And how do you determine?
There's a couple ways that, you know, you always want to shoot for those targets. You know, for women, it's trying to get in about a little bit under 3 liters of fluid a day. And for men, it's about 3.2 liters a day. But, you know, an easy way to do it, honestly, is to just monitor your urine color. That's going to be the fastest, most effective way to determine if you're drinking enough just throughout the day. And a mistake I often see is people always shoot for a clear color. You know, if your urine color is clear, that's actually a bad thing because your body isn't necessarily holding on to the fluids. So if that's the case, then you need to add a little bit of electrolytes, like that sodium, potassium will help. And then in contrast, if it's too dark or too yellow, that means your body is just severely dehydrated and you need to kind of focus in on hydrating again. And the key thing with daily hydration is to, you know, do it on a schedule and to have that intake of fluids consistent throughout the day. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If you try to overload your system in one way or the other, you know, your body's only going to be able to handle a certain amount. So it really has to do with just being efficient. You know, every hour, try to aim to consume 10 to 12 fluid ounces per hour. And then, you know, keeping a water bottle at your desk, you know, adding flavor, electrolytes, you know, products like Noon that are low in calories, that have clean ingredients, will make that water taste less boring, which will just help you make sure that you're drinking enough throughout the day.
So help us understand here. When I started taking Noon, or when I started using Noon, it was pretty much one product and not even many flavors.
Yep.
But now you've got electrolytes, vitamins, and is it recovery? Is that what it's called? Or
yeah,
is it performance?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So talk about the differences between those and when they should be used and why you have these different products.
Yeah. So the main, the fundamental difference between all of our products that you'll find is, you know, the amount of electrolytes that they have. What we found through our research was that, you know, your body has a certain requirement for the electrolytes that are in your hydration, both when you're at rest and when you're exercising. And also the last piece I should mention is when you're recovering from an exercise. So, you know, we know that if you or I are kind of just sitting at our desk and, you know, don't have a workout imminent, that a product with, you know, 360 milligrams of sodium, like our electrolytes line of products do have, isn't necessary. You don't need that high amount of sodium just to retain water, which is really the goal of at-rest hydration. So we created a product like Noon Vitamins that essentially has about a third of the sodium, a little bit more potassium in there, because we just have to play around with that sodium and potassium ratio to make it more efficient for the body and more. So then it's not a waste that the consumer is getting. So you'll see that as a fundamental difference between electrolytes and vitamins. And also with Noon Vitamins, we threw in a small blend of vitamins A, C, D, and E in there. And there's some folic acid and vitamin B6 as well. Because those are vitamins that you see the general public typically underconsume. So as we designed a product that was designed to be drank while you're at rest, we wanted to try to help the customer out a little bit, and you're not just getting the hydration, but we're going to throw small amounts of vitamins in there just to kind of increase that level that you would find in your body.
So would you say that if someone was not being very active and wanted to take more than just drinking water, could they drink Noon Vitamins pretty much all the time as long as it was diluted the way that you suggest?
Yeah, that's what we would suggest, is to just drink that side of it over it. And that's what, that's one of the main reasons that we designed it, is because not just to create another product just to do it. It's just because we fundamentally did see a benefit in reducing the amount of electrolytes to try to meet that side of it.
Yeah, the less active side. I think that's great. That really helps me understand the vitamin part of the Noon product. Now, electrolytes themselves, when they're Noon electrolytes, when would be the best time for a person to take those? And then also your recovery drinks, do they have protein in them? Is that part of what they have?
The third product is Noon Performance, and it's actually not necessarily designed for recovery. It's actually designed for, so this kind of goes back to that electrolyte need state. So it's actually designed for endurance-based exercises. So, anything really over 90 minutes to really over 2 hours, we through our research, we found that having actually a little bit more electrolytes would be beneficial. So we upped the sodium content a little bit. We upped the potassium content as well, and then added in a little bit of potassium chloride. So, for longer, harder, intense workouts, we want a little bit more electrolytes. And then we also, there's more calories in there as well. So when you're working out at those sort of activity levels, your body requires a little bit more, not just more electrolytes and fluids, but the carbohydrates will actually play a more crucial role in delivering that hydration to your muscles, and so it can get into circulation. So, those are a little bit of which products we have. Now, on when to use it, the electrolyte products, we do recommend using that before, during, and after exercises. But if you're going to use it during an exercise, we do limit that time limit to about 90 minutes. Anything really over an hour and a half, to get the best bang for your buck, if you would, we design a product like Noon Performance, which is a powder. So something like that would be what we would recommend to be used for, your marathon trainings and for, half marathons as well. And then the Noon Vitamins, that's kind of just your daily hydration product. You can use that just throughout the day. And then what you'll see is we'll continue to, bring products to the market that, fills in with different need states and things like that. So, and that's really just based on what we're learning from, working with athletes, working with various research institutions to try to make sure that we're formulating our products to be as effective as we believe they can be.
Yeah, and that brings me to this whole sugar notion, and the need for sugar as carbohydrate, and then also the not so much sugar a lot of times, or the quality of the sugar that people are getting. And I know that Noon within the last year or two has removed sugar alcohols from its electrolyte drinks. And I would love to hear you talk about that a bit more, because I know sugar alcohols are just absorbed differently than other types of sugar. And also, how did you address the whole need for calories in the form of sugar or in the form of carbohydrate, but not necessarily in sugar alcohols?
Yeah, so the sugar alcohol piece was really, you know, when I took on a project about 3-4 years ago to essentially redesign our tablets, make them, you know, cleaner, you know, the sugar alcohol piece, I just didn't feel like I served a real functional benefit. It is absorbed differently in the body, and it does have, you know, it can have some negative effects to the consumer, you know, in the sense of causing some GI, gastrointestinal issues. So,
right.
You know, but also the thing with sugar alcohols is that it allows you to, you know, get the sweetening properties that a product like ours needs. So, you know, we have a high amount of sodium in our product, and, you know, that's why we need the flavors and the stevia and the little bit of sugar in there to help mask that sodium content. So the sugar alcohol in my piece was a no-brainer. I'm like, it's kind of a polarizing ingredient. We know we can do better with just using cleaner sources of dextrose or cane sugar that were, you know, non-GMO, that were vegan, that were gluten-free, that met all of our quality, in ingredient purity specifications.
Right.
And then we transitioned into using products like that. We knew that having a little bit of sugar in a product like ours is actually okay. If the sugar is completely functional, if it's clean, and if we can, you know, make sure that it's filling the functional role that we need it to be. So, you know, we started playing around with just finding the best sugar sources out there, making sure they were clean, and then began formulating with that. And, right. You know, we still knew that when you're at rest or when you're, you know, exercising at not as high of an intensity, the amount of that sugar, you know, is important as well. So we wanted to keep it low enough where it would, you know, it wouldn't just provide empty calories or kind of start attributing to total caloric intake. And then that's when you saw us kind of expand into that Noon Performance product line that has, you know, that is 60 calories. So instead of your 10 calories, which most of our products are now, we went up to 60 because we realized that, again, some sugar is okay and it's actually good for the body, but we need to make sure that the sources of those sugars are clean. And it's something that we're comfortable with introducing to the consumer.
And that they're going to be absorbed to the best ability. And I know if you have extra calories that you are, you know, pushing around in your stomach, that can cause a lot of problems. And so that 60 calories, if that starts compiling on itself, then of course that can be a problem. Whereas if it's actually needed, then it's going to get utilized and it's not going to be a problem.
Right. Yeah. That's, you know, that's it. There's a delicate balance, between the ratio of carbohydrates, the type of carbohydrates and sugars to electrolytes to water, to intensity level, to make sure that, you know, as you're putting that extra stress on your stomach and on your, you know, endurance capacity, you want to make sure that the products you are consuming isn't gonna kind of magnify that stress. It's going to do everything it can to kind of help settle your stomach, because that's the key. When you have products just with like way too much fructose in there or something like that. Or, you know, in some cases, maltodextrin, you know, the problem necessarily isn't the amount, because what we do know is that your gut is extremely trainable. But, you know, one thing to mention about that, just because your body has the ability to, you know, train its stomach to handle certain products. That doesn't mean that we should just start introducing foreign materials to your body. We should still do everything in its way to consume products that work with your body. Having that right amount of that ratio between the sugars and the electrolytes to kind of ease your stomach and allow your body to absorb the nutrients more efficiently so you can kind of exercise at that high level.
Now, let me ask you a question here related to, again, to taking an electrolyte product and then also taking some of these chews or goos or, you know, those kinds of things while you're on a training run. If you combine that with noon, for example, then you're upping the calories that you're taking in. What are the potential problems or how can they enhance each other? I think our listeners would really like to know about that.
Yeah, so that's a great question. If you think about it in the sense of, you know, the sugars in your food are for fuel and the sugars in your drink are for hydration, that I think that can kind of help simplify that a little bit. However,
that's good.
You know, if you look at, because people always ask, they're like, oh, you know, there's sugar in the drink and I probably shouldn't eat that at the same time as my gel, right? Mm-hmm. Well, you know, yes and no. If you're actually consuming noon products, the sugars in your sport drink are going to be utilized by your body immediately to push the water where it needs to go. So any excess amount of carbohydrates, your body's just going to use up for fueling. But when you the problem that I see happen a lot is, you know, at your major marathons and things like that, people are going and, you know, every 30 minutes they're downing a full gel, which has, you know, 24 grams of sugar in it. And then at the next aid station, or even at that aid station, they're drinking 4 to 6 ounces of Gatorade or something that has about 10 additional grams of carbohydrates. So you're overloading your body with that. You know, if you don't have a diverse amount of carbohydrates, the transport proteins that your body needs to deliver those nutrients get over capacity.
Yeah, and I actually think where you are with that is, or where we are with that is, that people need to kind of test these things out ahead of time and try them, because it's not like everybody is the same. That for sure is one of the challenges that any of us see who are working with runners, you know. And I know with one of my marathon experiences, I was definitely taking goos pretty often, and I got close to the end of the marathon and was really pushing myself. And I found that I, you know, felt sick to my stomach, and that I also felt all of this stuff sloshing around in my stomach. And that's a very common, situation. But the point is that if you're going to be combining, or even if you're only going to use water and just test it out, do it ahead of time and see how your body responds to it, and then kind of gradually add things in so you can figure out where the problem lies. There's so many different variables in possible ways that hydration and additional calories from food can make a difference in, you know, how you feel and how you perform. I do want to move on here because I've got a couple more questions for you, and then we also are actually getting close to being out of time. Tell me about this March Expo West and the Noon 5K, because those are just literally around the corner from where we will be presenting this interview.
Yeah. So Expo West, Natural Products Expo West. So it's probably one of the biggest expos, trade shows that we attend, and they, unfortunately the show isn't open to the public. It's for,
that's a right question.
It's for, even though I know a lot of people want to try to get in there, cause it's pretty much shows all the newest natural products that are going to be, out in the marketplace. So we do a big setup there to, you know, meet with a lot of our customers, buyers, et cetera, but we are hosting a 5K That anyone can attend. So, you know,
what city is it in?
It's in Anaheim, California. So,
okay. Yeah,
right at near Disney World. So we are hosting a 5K there. It's on Saturday.
Saturday,
March 10th.
March 10th. Okay.
Yeah. So that's where the 5K is. And yeah, we'll be doing some work there, but you know, honestly, you can find Noon at any of your major marathons across the country.
Totally.
You know, we're always at expos. We're getting on course at a lot of places as well, which is pretty cool to see.
You know, I work at REI part time, and we have had Noon come in several times and just offer a booth for people to try the product. So if any of you are near to an REI and you want to check on Noon, you probably could ask when they're coming in. And actually just show up at the REI and find out about that. But as you said, there also are almost all of the major races have a Noon booth at them.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's a great way to try different flavors in the products that we have.
And your 5K, can people register for that in advance? Is it something they just show up on the day?
Yeah, you can register. There's a link that I'll send you, and maybe you can send it out to your listeners.
Yeah, okay. I will do that. Thank you. So what question, what are some of the best parts about working with Noon?
Honestly, it's just the people here. The people here are, we're all collectively on one mission to try to just inspire everyone to move more. You know, we have some incredible, incredible athletes here who, you know, can be professional athletes if they quit their day job. But you know, that doesn't mean that we're not a company that's open to all sorts of athletes. Doesn't even matter their abilities. I can't tell you the amount of people that started working here within the last couple of years who have transformed their bodies in ways that they can't even imagine, just with the exercise and proper nutrition and, you know, and the health benefits that come through there. So it's pretty incredible to see how diverse of a employee population we have.
Nice.
You know, and we're all on the same page. And, you know, for me, I feel like I have the best job because I get to work with all of our athletes, professional ambassadors, and I'm designing products to make people achieve their, you know, personal best and their goals,
which
honestly is why, in my opinion, why it gives us purpose, you know, to try to help other people and to try to improve and be the best that we can.
Yeah, and the fact that you're a runner as well, then of course you can try these things out on yourself.
Totally. There's a lot of guinea picking. I always joke that it's actually our CEO, Kevin Rutherford, who sits right next to me. We work in a very open office environment, and I joke, I'm like, he's my number one guinea pig. And when I give him new tablets or new sachets of powders to go try, I'm like, I hope I see you tomorrow. I'm like, everything will be fine. But, you know, it's always interesting in front to kind of test new theories and stuff like that out.
So what is it that matters about what you are currently doing? I think you kind of alluded to it already, but tell me more about that.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's on a weekly basis, I hear success stories about people using products like ours. And you know, the success stories go beyond us helping them solve, you know, a dehydration issue or something like that. You know, we're working with cancer patients because they, you know, while they're in chemo, they can't consume any fluids that's tolerable. And the medication and things that they're on decreases their potassium levels and things in their blood. So the fact that we can provide products that serve multiple different roles outside of just helping us become better runners, honestly, is why I do my job. And it's to help people. It's to hear about this little electrolyte tablet literally has changed someone's life. And it kind of puts things into perspective when you're in high, you know, we're all going to be in high stress situations, whether it's during a race, work, personal life. But to hear some of the ways that we are helping individuals outside of just making them a better athlete, you know, it just brings it all together for me in the end, and it makes it all worth it.
Yeah, I have one of my goals in life, and one that I try to share with the people I come in contact with, is that I want to think about fitness as a lifestyle and something that, you know, I can do and that people I influence can do for the rest of our lives. So, like, what you're doing actually can offer people an opportunity to create a lifestyle with the products that you have and with the information that you have to share that can make their lives better. And the fact that you talk about this with cancer patients and people outside of the normal, quote, athletic stereotype is, you know, it's very touching.
Yeah, no, it is, absolutely. And I think you nailed it right there. It's kind of incredible to see, you know, seven years ago when I was, you know, right out of college or in college, to think that to accept a job where I was, pretty much signed up to set up a booth at various events, to see that now I have this influence to try to make products that are, changing people's lives. Right. It is really incredible to see, and we're seeing success stories like that a lot, and I think it's really important for us to know that, you know, there are people out there trying to do really good things to try to make us all better athletes,
better people, better more fit, and having better lives because of it.
Absolutely.
We're going to change gears here and reintroduce the popular segment that was started by Tina Muir called The Final Kick. Did you have a chance to look that over, or is this going to be new for you?
It looks like it's going to be new for me, so let's roll the dice.
Okay, well, we will be back shortly after recognizing our sponsor, so stay tuned for The Final Kick and further discussion with Vishal Patel from Noon Hydration. If you're not already on Strava, boy, are you missing out. Strava is the social network and fitness app for athletes. It's fun, informative, and keeps you and your friends fit. Literally millions of people use Strava to track their runs, rides, workouts, and connect with others. Using Strava has been a huge and important part of my training. Keeping track of my mileage and workouts has helped me better understand my training and given me an easy, comprehensive way to look back at my running to see where I can improve and where I might have gone wrong when I'm not running as well as I think I should. It's simple and free to use. Just download the app and then use your mobile phone or a Garmin or other GPS device to record and share your runs to Strava. I love that I'm able to look back at new routes I found, some with the help of other Strava members, and name them so they are easier to find the next time. The new routes have reinvigorated some of my monotonous, easy days. And the best part is that for a limited time, Strava's offering podcast listeners a chance to win an entry to the 2018 New York City Marathon and a $500 travel stipend. It's the largest marathon in the world and notoriously difficult to get into. For your chance to win, just go to runnersconnect.net/Strava. To enter and read the official rules. That's Strava, Strava. Okay, are you ready for the final kick, Vishal?
I am. Let's do it.
Let's do it. Yeah. So this is not a test. So you don't have to worry. You're already going to pass.
Yeah. Good.
Okay. So starting, what is your favorite local training run? And tell us enough detail that our listeners, if they come to your city, could actually locate it, how to park, the name of the starting point, how long the route, terrain, safety issues, etc.
Yeah. So I I'm a big trail runner now that I've moved out here. So my favorite place to run, trail run within the Seattle city limits is Discovery Park. And it's in the Magnolia neighborhood. And it's a beautiful area that kind of sits right along the water there. And it's about a 3 mile loop within the park, and you'll get pretty amazing views and some hills as well. And, you know, there's several places to park, parking lots near there. The Environmental Learning Center, which is also a cool place to take kids after the run, is a nice place to park. You can go for a run and then grab, you know, coffee or something like that at the various drinking establishments that are within the area.
Nice. Any safety issues?
No, I mean, it's a pretty safe area. It's pretty, there's always a lot of people there, so you won't kind of run the risk of taking a wrong turn and getting lost. And like I said, you know, it's within the Seattle city limits in Seattle. So it's pretty cool to, it kind of feels like you're in the mountains, but you're not.
It's a fun
place to hang out.
I've actually run at Discovery Park. As you may know, I live in Oakland, but I've spent quite a bit of time in Seattle, and I've run there, and it's great. And this has been one of the most fun parts of the interviews for me, is getting notified of other people's ideas for, you know, fun runs. So I hope our listeners enjoy this too. I think it should be a lot of fun to continue this trend. Question number two, and I think you'll be able to pass this one too, is recommended running book. What's a favorite running book that you'd like to mention to our listeners?
You know, I actually just finished reading a book called Peak Performance by Steve Magnus and Brad Stussberg, I believe is how you pronounce the last name. And, Steve is, they're both runners. Steve is a coach down at University of Houston, track and field, cross country. And he's worked up in Portland, as well with some top level runners. The book really, it has a lot of running stories and things on there, but the premise of the book is on how you can just be the best at what you're doing. And it's not always about being the best runner or, you know, nutritionist, whatever, or et cetera, et cetera. But it's just about looking at the most successful people in the world, you know, athletes, musicians, artists, and seeing what common traits that they have. It's been an interesting read, and it's definitely re-looked the way that I design my own training and how I'm kind of pushing my body.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for that one. Any advice for new runners? Just a couple of short tips.
Yeah. So new runners, I would always say that, you know, practice. And that's kind of more on to when you start incorporating like nutrition and hydration and things like that. One of the biggest kind of pitfalls I see with newer runners is that they believe that, you know, one recipe is just going to be the gold standard. So it's always about like, you know, we talked about this a little bit, practicing different, you know, whether it's different running workouts or techniques to improve your form, or, you know, introducing new hydration or nutrition. But I think when we were all growing up, we kind of alluded as practice as this team sport thing where, you know, it's just boring and monotonous, but, you know, it kind of has a lot of premise in individual sports like running, because, you know, that repetition and trying to be having your body be more familiar at a certain task is really going to help any beginner athlete in any sport.
Yeah, thank you. That's a good one. And the final question. So far, you've passed with 100%, but, you know, now's the toughest one here. Yeah, they've been building in intensity. So this one is words of wisdom or a quote for our listeners.
Words of wisdom or a quote. You know, someone actually asked me this recently, and I it was on a panel, and I froze because I didn't know what to say. But then I went on And I said, be confident. My number one piece of advice, it's still something that I'm continuing to work on a day-to-day basis. You know, I feel like I've had successes both in the athletic running world and both in my career as well. But, you know, all of us want to have some sort of self-doubt in us. And it's really important to just know that you can do this and you can do anything that you put your mind to. And that will transform the way that you think and live. So confidence is something that I always try to preach, just because I know it's something that I have to continue to work on.
Yeah, good point. And it changes too, because if you are accepting that you can be confident in yourself, it means that you're also willing to take risks. And that's a huge thing, to just have the confidence to try some new things.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, it's a great point.
Now, moving on to, because you passed, you got 100%.
Right.
Good for you.
That was extra credit or anything?
Gold star. I'll send you a gold star. But that's it. So do you have any questions for me?
No, I don't.
Some people have asked me some pretty wild questions
I didn't prepare or anything.
That's one that sometimes I catch people off guard, but it's been kind of fun. Okay, so is there one? This is sort of a final question, but it's also something to help me out in my job. Is there someone or some subject about running that you think we should have on this podcast?
I would say, I believe you've already had, or maybe you haven't, I don't know if you've talked to Dr. Stacy Sims, who is actually a partner of Noon's. She's a world renowned exercise physiologist who's kind of pioneered, sports nutrition for women. And it's, she's really done a lot of incredible research and insight into that area that I think can be beneficial to your listeners to really look at women's physiology and nutrition completely separate, as it should be. And through her expertise, she's been able to, you know, formulate tips and advice. And she actually has a book out called ROAR, R-O-A-R. As well, but I think she would be a great guest for you to have.
Oh, thank you. See, I love this. This kind of stuff really helps me.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Of course, then it's of interest to our listeners as well. So Vishal, we are just about at the end here. So please give us your contact information and how our audience might stay in touch.
Yeah, so you can, I work here at Noon, so you can just call or email our general line at info@noonlife, and they'll put you in touch with me. I'm on social media as well, at Vishal Patel with two underscores, where I do post a lot of sports nutrition and running related stuff as well.
Excellent. Now that's info, I-N-F-O, at NUUNLIFE.com. Right?
Absolutely. Yep.
Okay. Perfect. Okay. And thank you, Vishal Patel. And thank you to all our listeners for joining us for today's podcast at Run to the Top. Follow us and learn when you've won at the Runners Connect Winner Circle on Facebook at runnersconnect.net/FB. Post your questions and comments there too. We love to hear from you. And you can subscribe to Run to the Top at runnersconnect.net or on iTunes, Stitcher, etc. Vishal, thank you again for speaking with us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thank you, listeners. I hope you've enjoyed this episode. Join us again next week when we'll be speaking with Dr. Sandy Baird, a sports chiropractor and run analysis professional who specializes in runners and running injuries. This is Stephanie K. Atwood with Run to the Top. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening to the Run to the Top podcast from runnersconnect.net.